J.C. Ryle says, if you do not take the trouble with your children when they are young, they'll give you trouble when they are old. Mm-hmm. Choose what you prefer. And they're a lot cuter when they're younger, so just saying. So let's talk about why we teach our kids to obey. I think that we all could acknowledge obedience as the primary command to kids in Scripture, right? We're going to open up to a couple of passages in a minute to prove that point. And why do we want to teach our kids what the Bible says? Because we want to be workers approved. We want to be able to stand before the Lord and say, here, well done. We want to be able to say at the end, I've been faithful. Whether or not our children actually walk in the way we're telling them, our prayer is that, right? Our consistency is that. And somebody mentioned like every little step day by day. I think Sarah, you mentioned that. That is exactly what we're doing. We are literally living out Isaiah 28:10, precept upon precept, line upon line, a little here, a little there. That is our life as mothers, right? Is we are just trying to have a consistent, godly effect on these cute little sinners that we live with, right? And they become more needy and more demanding as they get older. And so we're trying to remember and keep putting that in front of our eyes. I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. I want to teach them to obey because that is the crux of my life as a believer, right? And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a minute, about John 15. Let's open up to Exodus 20. How about Jenny? Exodus 20, verse 5. Colleen, Colossians 3, 20. And Sarah, Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. And let's... All right, so let's give everybody a second to open up there. All right, Jenny, would you go ahead? Let's just read them in succession, and then we'll all say amen at the end, okay? So let's say where you're reading, and then read your verse for us, please.
Okay, Exodus 20, verse 5. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me.
Oh, just kidding. I wrote down the wrong verse. Verse 12. I don't know why I wrote down 5.
Exodus 20,
also,
verse
12. Also, we get 5 also.
I mean, not good.
Yeah. That was profitable in God's sovereignty. All right, verse 12.
Verse 12. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you.
Colossians 3:20 says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord.
Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise.
Can you finish it?
Mm-hmm. So that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth.
Amen. All right, so there's our collective amen. There's our two yoked together commandments. We're teaching our kids to honor and to obey, right? So honor is the inward idea of like, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. I am willing to respect where God has put you in my life. I'm submitting to you. And then outwardly is the obedience. I'm doing the thing. So the obedience might come without the honor. Do you address the fact that they're not honoring? Nod your head yes. Yeah, even at a young age, right? So there's little things we might see at a young age. We're like, I don't really know if he's turning his face away from me when I tell him to do something, if that means he likes it or not. Like, I don't really know if when they are looking at the sky, when I'm asking them to do something, if that means that they want to do it or not. Do I address that? Yes, we address it. Because that's part of Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, is the honoring and the obeying. And there can't really be any outward obedience without the inward, right? And we'll talk about that more later as we talk about some of the common parental methods we have that are unbiblical. We can't change hearts. There's only one heart surgeon. That's the Lord. But we can motivate internal obedience. We want to point them to the Lord by ourselves walking with the Lord and being transparent with our kids, as well as telling them and acknowledging it's hard to obey. But God wants us to obey. He blesses us when we walk in obedience. And encouraging them to have an internal motivation to obey because they love the Lord. Because one day there's not going to be... You don't get cookies at Publix when you're 35 or 45, right? Like, there's no external reward for, you did the good job. Nobody's ever being like, good job, and hold your temper on that one. You know? Like, there has to be an internal desire. I want to please God because I love him, and nobody sees me, and I still love him. I still obey him, even in my room by myself, even at home by myself, days on end with small people, talking about nothing really, like, big and awesome. We're just talking about not picking your nose and eating your green beans without grumbling. I can still honor God and have a joyful attitude. J.C. Ryle again says, we must start early training obedience with our children, though it may cost you much trouble and them many tears. I think we all can agree with that. If you have had children, you know that is true. Their very souls are at stake. Babies are so cute and sweet when they're little, but it doesn't take long for their sin nature to be shown. I had one kid who was breached in utero, and I had tried to have an external version, and even at a quarter turn, was kicking against the doctor's arm. I do not want to be turned. And I was like, wow, there's that sin nature. Right there. Part of the way that we can help ourselves with this is remembering we are raising adults. You aren't raising little girls and little boys. You're raising men and women. What are they going to look like when they leave your house? It might feel like the days are long, but the years are short. And before you know it, you're going to say, wow, I already have a 2-year-old. I already have a 6-year-old. I already have a 20-year-old. How did that happen already? If you talk to any older person, you go to the grocery with a gaggle of children, what do they say to you? Boy, that's rough sometimes. But usually they say, oh, enjoy it. It goes so fast. I remember those years, right? I've never met an older person at the grocery that was like, wow, I had way too many kids. I regretted it. They usually say the opposite. I wish I had more. On this side of it, I recognize that hard pressing season was so short, right? Sometimes we call these the labor years because you're literally just constantly physically moving, right? Tying the shoe, wiping the nose, wiping other things, doing the things all the time. You're just never sitting down. Or if you do sit, then someone needs you, right? Sometimes you maybe don't sit. I'm guilty of that. I'm not going to sit because I know someone will call me. If I'm already standing, it's just easier to get to where I want to go. It is your job. It is my job to make sure that we teach our children that life does not revolve around them. And above all else, to obey mom and dad. And that's what we were referencing before. If they cannot obey their parents, how do you think that they're going to obey the Lord? So you are with them all the time when they're young, right? And then we go to the next step. Maybe they go to preschool. Maybe they go to babysitter. Maybe they go with grandma for a while. They go to Sunday school. They go to nursery. Who are they obeying there? You're not there with them. Have you instilled in them the understanding that we are always under submission, under authority in our life? Whoever you are, daddy's under authority, mommy's under authority, teachers are under authority. We are always under authority in some area of our life. And so we model this by remembering, one, the goal of our life is to love the Lord and to glorify him. And we do that by abiding. And how do we abide? By obeying, right? John 15, Jesus says, if you keep my commands, then you're abiding. And he said these things to us so that our joy would be full. We would be full of the joy that he had, and it would be full. God's desire for you is to be abiding and be blessed. The same for your children. And we are blessed when we're abiding, when we're obeying. So there's no separation there. We cannot have joyful, godly children, adults, without teaching them obedience. Because we can't be joyful, godly Christians without obeying. We can't. So we have to teach them that and model it not hypocritically, right? If we're under authority and we're teaching them mommy's under authority and you're under authority, we can't be grumbling about pastor said this or the president did that or my governor said this or that thing or the government wants us to pay all these taxes or whatever it is that we find is our pressure trigger point. We have to be careful because they're watching, they're listening, and we're saying this, but we're doing this. It doesn't line up. And they're watching this, right? Well, okay, because you're complaining, I can complain, and they'll start to mimic us. And all of these things are from the Lord. So when you feel convicted about this, right, I'm convicted about it. I was convicted in reading it and preparing, like, wow, here are these areas that I'm seeing. I complain. I am not pursuing holiness in this area. My kids are watching me. They're old enough now to call me out on it. How do I yield when they do that? None of this is from me. Like, I didn't make it up, and you didn't make it up. So you can walk firmly in the authority God's given you, not being afraid of being in charge, not lording it over your children, but knowing, I'm just telling you what the Lord said to you. Think of yourself like a middleman. Somebody over here made the product. Here's Walmart where you went and bought it. They're just a middleman. You're not making the product. You're just going to Walmart. Your kids are just coming to Walmart, and you're telling them, this is what your sin, it has a cost, here it is, right? That's all you're doing. So you're like, you didn't sin against me. Did you lie? Did you this? Ultimately, right, Psalm 51, David prays against you, and you alone have I sinned, O Lord. That should be comforting to us when we have a tendency to take certain sins personally, right? Some sins can rub us the wrong way, and we'll talk a little bit later about inconsistency. How do you remain consistent when you feel like your heart is like burning with anger? How could this person I've done so much for, you sinned against me, right? No, I'm going to remember this is just God's command. I'm just the middleman. I'm just telling you what the Bible says because you can't even read yet. Here's what it says, you know? Or you can read, but you refuse not to, or you cannot comprehend, right? Ryle says, obedience is faith visible. faith acting, and faith incarnate. It is the only reality. So obedience is faith visible. This is the marker that you're showing your children obedience, is you yourself walking in obedience. You want to lead them to where you're going. You can't lead people where you're not going. So just like you were saying, no, Mia. Mia was sharing with us about how she's putting on these practices, these spiritual disciplines. We need to be doing those same things, taking ourselves to the Lord so that we can teach our kids this is what it looks like. We're not expecting sinlessness. We're expecting obedience, knowing, and when you do sin, this is what we do. It's how we do it. We repent. We ask the Lord's forgiveness and whoever we've sinned against. Let's open up to Proverbs 29:15 because we're getting ready to talk about how we help these little ones. Let's see. Catherine, will you read that?
Yes. 29:15?
Mm-hmm.
The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother.
Amen. How does a child get left to himself? We neglect to train, right? So we need to be on guard. We don't have any trouble loving ourselves. You notice the scripture never commands us. Make sure you love yourself. Make sure you prefer yourself a little bit while you're preferring. Scripture is very adamant. Prefer others, love others, because we're already really good at loving ourselves. Whether that goes in either extreme, right? We can love ourselves to the point where we're consumed with thinking bad things about ourselves. You're still loving yourself because who you're thinking about all the time? Yourself. Or the other way, where you're thinking you're so great and like, oh, you've got all these things down, or you've got the best hair, or whatever it is that you're like, I'm so great at this. It's very obvious that's a love of self. The Bible exhorts us to love others. You love your children by disciplining them. Don't be lazy. Don't train them to be disobedient by ignoring their sinful behavior. Be proactive. We're going to talk about that in a second. So our first idea about proactivity is the gardener, thinking about a little sapling. If you've ever gardened or if you've seen them plant new landscaping in somewhere, they usually have like a little stake next to the little sad tree or something that's just starting out, right? He's so little, he can't do his own thing. There's a little wiggle room, right? So that they can learn to sway and get strong. But the goal is that the strong tree will eventually be tall in the sky and the little stake will be gone. This tree won't even need the stake anymore. It will far exceed the little stake, right? The tree's strong because of the way that it was helped in the beginning. And that's the way we want to help our kids. We want to help them and support them and strengthen them. Give them a little bit of room to live. How are they going to walk with what we're giving them? We're going to teach them and train them. We're going to mold them and pray for them. Don't neglect praying for them. And beyond the idea of just, Lord, save them. Lord, help them to stop doing these things. Lord, make my life easy and convenient and not embarrassing when we go to the store today, right? We probably all read in James where he talks about you don't have because you don't ask. And when you do ask, you ask amiss for your own pleasures. We don't want to ask that God would change our children and make them obedient because we don't want to be embarrassed. Because we want to be on time, because we want the house to be clean, because we want to have time with our husband. We want to be praying, God, help my children be obedient and to love you for your glory, that you would get the glory, that you would be shown in the lives of the people around us. That's why we want our children to be obedient. And ultimately, that's going to help us when we're trying to figure out, why am I doing everything right? My child is still disobeying. I am, right? We want to be able to trust in the Lord and be able to say, no, I have been faithful. I'm called to faithfulness. Cannot transform my child. Only God can do that. And that should bring us to that point you guys were talking about, that desperate point. Praise God. You know, like that desperate point of, I can't do it. You're right, you can't. And the truth is, you never could do it. But we are sometimes under the illusion, I can kind of control things. Like I'm kind of in charge. I've got all these little people. I am in charge of the schedule. I'm in charge of the diet. I'm in charge of their this. I'm in charge of what they watch. I can control everything. Okay. You know, you just wait, because you will begin to see the Lord in his kindness hopefully will begin to show you cannot control everything before it is too late, because you can't. The truth is you cannot control what's going on the inside of their heart, and you want to be yielding to God, trusting in his sovereignty, knowing he's going to give me what I need, whether my child's easy, whether my child's hard, and it's going to look different for them. And if you have more than one child, you probably know that. I did the same thing to these two kids, and one of them was cracking up, and the other one's crying. I don't even understand. I have the same standard, and this child's like, okay, Mom, and this child is like hiding somewhere trying to figure out how to disobey me. I don't understand. God is working all of these things for your good and his glory. So keep trusting him as you are training your children, knowing this is going to be a long process. It's little by little. I'm just being faithful every day, stepping and walking forward. Just like God's growing my children, he's also growing me. And it's hard for both of us as we all walked around in the room and talked around her obeying, I didn't hear anybody be like, I don't have to learn anything. I know everything. You know? I'm just obeying God. I'm walking. It's like a, walk in the park. It's just easy. Everything's easy. That is like what it's like for our children. And when we're trying to train them to obey, you may not struggle to not touch the light switch, but they struggle. Something about the light switch draws them. They want them to have to touch it, right? You may not struggle to throw all the Legos on the ground and not pick them up and then lay down and cry, but they struggle with that for some reason. That is their struggle, right? And so as parents, it's good to remember, I'm raising adults and they're going to throw fits as adults. It won't look like this, but it will look like a fit in adult form. We've all seen it. It's ugly. Maybe you've done it. It's just as ugly, right? We don't want that. We want them to be able to know the Lord's ways and walk in them. So identifying them when they're small, even if they're manageable, and helping them to walk in the right way and training them for obedience is so important because we want to see the peaceful fruit of righteousness in their life and in ours. John MacArthur says, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We just read Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 and the bottom of that, which talks about and involves the rules and regulations and is enforced by rewards and punishment. This is all discipline, right? It's hard. It's painful. You discipline your body. You discipline your children. It doesn't feel easy. Nobody goes to the gym and doesn't sweat. There's reasons they sell sweatbands, you know? There's reasons that we have all this wicking thing. We would switch their sweat away, right? Like, it's challenging. And you maybe, like, that is a good idea to think about. I'm going to train my children. I'm putting on my workout gear because this is going to be hard, you know? That's a great opportunity as we get ready for BBS is to look at Ephesians 6 and be memorizing that. You need the armor of God. I've had more than one day where I've gone out of my room, interacted with a child, and turned around and went back in with tears. I'm not ready. Oh, like, I had this break time in prayer and Bible reading and, like, my heart just went out and I was just like, my expectation is this. I'm like, oh, Lord, we're just gonna, it's gonna be a great time. Everyone's gonna be so grateful for me to be their mom. And that was not what I got. And so it was really important that I be prepared, but also I am helping set the standard for my kids. Helping them, holding them to it, being accountable to the Lord and to others and to my spouse when they call me out. You know, you didn't very sound very loving the way you were speaking to them. Do you feel like that was an appropriate discipline? You know, maybe I did discipline too far because I was like, they don't need to be grounded for 3 months. Maybe they just need to go to the back porch. Because you need that accountability, right? Because we in our own esteem are wise. But scripture tells us a wise person seeks counsel. A foolish person thinks their way is right and doesn't listen to others. I don't want to be that person. So make sure that you're holding your kids to the standard that you're setting before them and not being afraid of doing that. That is a good, right parent to do that. Listen to Psalm 128 verses 1 to 4. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you'll be happy, and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. That we want to be that woman who fears the Lord, not fearing our kids, not fearing they're going to not like us, not fearing a messy home, fearing the Lord and doing what's right. So training your children in obedience isn't the distraction from the things that you're doing. It's not the distraction to fill in the blank. Training your kids is what you're doing. Those other things right now, those are the distraction, especially in the younger years. Remember, they only have one mother. They only have one childhood. This is it. Be faithful. Don't think that you will have tomorrow. Don't presume that you will have next week or next month. You don't know what next week or next month or tomorrow will look like. Be faithful and ask the Lord for strength not to view it as this is an encumbrance, this is an obstacle. What I really wanted to do today was, but now I'm having to deal, sit with, talk to this child, train this child, discipline this child for like the fourth time. Are they ever going to get this issue? Oh, look, the next child has an issue. Everyone has issues, including me, because here I am impatient and joyless, training my children. Let's read Hebrews 12. This is great. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you're without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us. God disciplines us for our good, so that we may share in his holiness. Why does God discipline us? Share his holiness. Okay, who wants to be holy? Okay, then you're also saying I want discipline. So raise both hands and say, Lord, thank you. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. We know we have lots of crying children when there's discipline, but sorrowful. Yet, to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's Hebrews 12, 7 to 11. According to God, discipline is love, and if you love your children, you firmly hold them to God's standards. It's unloving to let them stay in their foolishness and selfishness. Remember, when your child disobeys, remember they're sinning against God. You are the middleman. We can call our children to follow the Lord as we follow. So when you hear them grumbling about it's hot in this car, where you just went in somewhere and now it's like heat, right? It's so hot. It is hot. But isn't it wonderful that draw their mind around and point them to the Lord? Isn't it wonderful that we're not freezing? We're already in our bathing suits because we just came from the beach. We could be in like jeans and sweaters right now. Isn't that great? You know what? It is hot, but isn't it great we had a beach or pool to come to? Or that the sun is shining and it's not cloudy and overcast because we had a plan to be outside later today. Or isn't it wonderful we get this beautiful sun? It's so wonderful. There's a lot of places it's dark and cloudy. Draw their mind as you're drawing your mind, because truthfully, oftentimes our children are saying the things that we're thinking. We know enough not to say it out loud. So don't set yourself like, well, here's my kids and here's me, and I'm just like, I'm so holy and they're down here. No, this world, there's not too much difference a lot of times. They'll take, have you ever been somewhere and your kids take a bite of something and they're like, spit it out, they make a bad face, they make a comment, you're like, I'm mortified, you just said that that tastes disgusting. But you also are like, wow, that tastes disgusting. So help them, come alongside them, right? And embrace, like, it's true, what they're saying isn't untrue. Don't allow that embarrassment or fear of man to dictate your disciplining, but instead, you're right, that's an example of childishness. You're right, that tastes gross, but let's not say that because that could be hurtful to grandma. She worked really hard for this. Or whatever the situation is, right? That's okay, just push it to the edge of your plate. Children are naturally looking for the border, the fence of our protection as we guide them in discipline, and they're finding the fence and then they're pushing, right? So all these like fiberglass fences that we have around here that looks like really great and beautiful, and then a strong wind came and you're like, oh, they're gone. But someone will come and fix it eventually, and then it'll be great, and it'll look pretty, and okay, they do this, right? They bend a little bit. That's what our children are doing. They're coming and finding like, well, I didn't know if you really meant that. If you could ask them what they meant, that's what they would say to you. I'm just making sure. So you say don't do that, and they're like, how much do you mean not to do that? Like, could I just touch the edge of the line? Would you be okay with that? Like, well, I know you said that I couldn't wear my socks, like, you know, to the pool, but I wondered if I could wear them on my hands to the pool. Like they're looking for a way to know if you really mean what you mean, because they want the security of structure. They want the safety of knowing you mean what you mean. Your word is firm and you're caring for them. You're providing safety for them. So don't bend when they're coming and pushing on you. Maybe because you're tired of carrying the mask. Maybe because it's more convenient for you. Like, yes, you can just have another fruit snack today. It doesn't matter. If the rule in your house is one fruit snack a day, hold to it. You can have as many as you want. That's a hypothetical. Literally. Hold firmly to your instruction that you give them. Even on things that you're like, well, maybe we could rethink that. Think about what the motive is of your child talking to you. Are they looking for obedience? Are they looking for their own way? You want to train them in obedience. Be careful that you're not training them to be advocates for their own selfish pleasures. And when you engage with them, when they're asking for these things in a wrong way, they're not appealing respectfully, they're not seeking the Lord's glory, you're encouraging them. Well, you know, really everything I say is open for debate. Like, let's just negotiate everything. Mm-hmm. Bedtimes, teeth brushing, also obedience to God's word, church, you know, like we can just talk about all of it. No. This is the rule, this is the standard. And we'll talk a little bit about saying no and saying yes in just a few minutes, because we should be saying yes more than we say no. But we want to make sure what we say no or the rules that we have, we're holding firmly to them, because that our children are looking for that. So what does obedience look like? No challenges, no excuses, and no delaying. Don't train your child to disobey. Don't train your child to disobey. In my experience, a lot of my laziness came, or a lot of my disobedience training came from laziness. I did not address what my children were doing because I did not want to get up. I did not want to have to do it again. I was tired of dealing with this issue. I just wanted them to finally be mature. Why can't they just stop sinning? And God in his kindness gave me just the children I needed with the dispositions and the difficulties in different areas. It is important to make sure that when you are training your children, you're looking for foolish versus childishness, which we talked about just a minute ago. Are they saying something that's sinful? Are they being rebellious? Or are they just being childish, right? Look, mommy, that lady's really fat, right? My kids have said it before. I'm like,
oh, I'm so, I can't believe you just said that.
They're just being childish. They don't even know that it's rude. No one's taught them that that's rude. Because we only live in our house, the church. So then you take them, you pull them aside, and maybe an opportunity to repent to the person you spoke to if they heard you. It's an opportunity to instruct your children about speaking kindly, letting the words that come out of their mouth be profitable. It's an opportunity not to say, don't say that, that's wrong, but explain to them. Well, if you fill in the blank, whatever it is, that they have a tenderness toward, right? If you had terrible looking hair, and you walked into the thing and you thought it looked great, but everyone else said it looked terrible, how would you feel? Or if you thought your freckles were beautiful and someone said, oh, you have freckles, and fill in the blank. Wherever they're helping them to understand, how is what I'm doing unacceptable? Well, what is that hairbrush made for? Is it made for rubbing on the cat's fur in the wrong direction? No, it's made for brushing your hair. Explaining to them why what they're doing is childish, like in like, you know, 10 words if they're young. It's not a big lecture, right? Helping them understand, we don't say that. We don't do that because it's not kind. At the very least, you can just go back to 1 Cor 13, 4 and 5. It's rude. Mm-hmm. And our manners are for the purpose of serving others. Are we loving other people when we're rude? No. So don't say those rude things. It's not loving to others. It can be hurtful. Even if they're like, but I don't understand. You don't have to understand. You need to trust mommy and trust daddy because we are the sovereign authorities God's put in your life right now. And the teachers he's put you in your life. And the pastors you put in your life, and as you get older, youth group leaders and your disciplers. These are godly people that God has put in your life. You need to trust their wisdom, even if you don't understand why. Trust me when I say that that's rude.
What's that passage?
1 Cor 13, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5. Yeah, all about love. Basically everything in your life will fall down to that, with small children and medium-sized children and large children. Are you sissing on your own way? Are you being rude? Right? This goes on. Are you being arrogant? Are you boasting? Encourage your kids to trust you. I often say to my kids, godly mothers and fathers are a grace in your life. It is a gift of grace that he has given you, a mom and a dad who love him and love his work. Imperfect as we are, it is a gift of grace. Are you trusting God right now with the authority he's put in your life? When you can see that they're starting to push against, well, remind them to trust you because God has put you in their life and that you're imperfect. But then you are a gift to them. So let's talk about the rod. For rebellion, right? Specifically disrespect and rebellion and lying and safety. Now not, I spilled my milk on accident. I got angry that you told me I had to eat my broccoli. And so in the middle of flinging my arms in anger, I knocked the milk over and it spilled. Mm-hmm. That would be a great opportunity for the rod. Not, I'm reaching to grab the salt and my arm bumps my milk. No, that's still an opportunity for instruction, right? Are you being careful? Are you planning what you're doing with your body as you're moving across the table? Are you being impulsive? Are you considering your sibling? Or maybe we've already given you rules like please ask to pass the salt, etc. But not necessarily we're just jumping. Every issue is, oh, we're using the rod. And neither on the other side. Like, well, we just never use the rod. We always just exhort. We always just remind truth. We're always doing positive parenting. We want to be able to walk that line of balance with scripture. We're not being lazy and never disciplining with the rod, except maybe when we just get angry, right? I told you 6 times today, now you're getting a spanking. Wait, what? How does that make sense? That's not consistent. How do I know when to obey you? Or, well, with mommy I have like 6 times, but with daddy I have 1 time. Or, with mommy I have a lot of times, unless we're at these places with these people, or I see her face look a certain way, or I hear her tone of voice, then I know I have no more time. And I need to run to her and be like, I'm sorry, mommy. And look really cute, and my daughter calls it the police face. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she learned that from a show. That's okay, that's good for us. And we addressed that, called it what it was, manipulation. So make sure that when your children need correction, which when they're young, it may seem to be forever and always. Like just those many years, I had a rod in my back pocket. I just walked around with the rod. I did actually, I'm waiting for someone to invent like those lightsabers that you like fling open. One that attaches to your keychain. I'm not really at that stage anymore, but it would have been really helpful like 10 years ago to have that. I wish that someone had invented that. So yeah, the rod would go in my purse. It would go in the glove box of the car. It would go in the diaper bag. It would be in the bedroom. It would be in the bathroom. we just had a multitude of rods, and they were just all over the place. And it was very helpful to know it would help support me to be consistent. It would help support me to be obedient. Discipline your children when they need correction, and specifically in those areas of rebellion, disrespect, lying, and safety violations. You want to be faithful to follow through. Children who are loved, truly loved by their parents, they will receive this discipline in a caring, consistent, firm manner. Don't be harsh. Don't be angry. We'll talk about this a little bit. What do you do when you are angry and you've got a young child who needs to be disciplined? Or maybe an older child, but young especially because they're very impatient and you're wondering, how do I do that? Your loving discipline should register in your child's mind a desire to avoid that sin next time the temptation comes around. Some kids, they're going to learn pretty quickly. Other kids, not so much. And that's okay, because the Lord sovereignly knows what you need. If you're in that season where you're just like, I feel like this kid is not getting it, especially if you have a kid who did get it, and you're like, why are you not getting it? I don't understand why I'm constantly having to talk to you about this issue. You're constantly losing privileges. I have certain kids who feel like they're in a constant cycle of losing privileges. Oh, just when you had an opportunity to get that privilege back, you lost it again. And we just keep going. In my mind, I'm thinking a certain time or date. I haven't told them, but it's when you consistently show a mature response to this issue, then you will get that privilege back. And it's like, just when we start to give it, oh, nope, you're just going to start the cycle again. And we just keep going around. I'm like, well, one day, maybe by the time they're 20, they'll be able to have that privilege. Who can know? That's not my responsibility. My job is not to be their friend. My job is to be their parent. One day I will get to be their friend, by God's grace, if I've been faithful on the front end. But choose which trouble you'd rather have. Would you rather have difficulty and trouble at 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17? Or would you rather have trouble 20 through 80, or however long you live? You want to be faithful on the front end. You are raising adults. Remember that. We are raising adults, not children. So how can we plan to be proactive with our kids? We can remember Isaiah 28:10. This is little by little, practicing with them, not waiting for the moment to arrive, but being intentional. One of the ways that you can do that is by waiting until the moments are calm and calling them to you, practicing obedience. Wait till they're in the middle. Put their like favoritest toy out that you're like, they for sure never come when they're playing with this. Spread it out. Walk away. Jelly, come here. Do they come? Teach them. Walk over. Take their hand. When mommy calls, come. Ephesians 6, Colossians 3, Exodus 20. God says, obey your parents. This pleases him. Coming to mommy. Good job. You came to me. Good job. Like this is like 18 months old, right? 12 months old. You're teaching them to come. Now you go put them back in the toys and you walk away. So repeating that a few times and then, okay, now mommy expects you to come. And whatever your agreed upon discipline, for that's appropriate for that age. But your goal is first time obedience. You want to train them, not when all the friends are over, not when you're at the mall, at the play area, and there's like so much stimulation. They're so excited. You don't want to train them when they're out with grandma and grandpa and they won't eat their french fries or, oh, that's not really accurate. Whatever it is they won't eat. You don't want to train them in the middle. That's not the moment of training. The moment of training is at home, at your time, when you are planning, being proactive. Whatever that is, it could be first time obedience, it could be eating your food, it could be responding rightly to, it's time to clean up, like transitions, right? We're gonna be eating lunch in 2 minutes. We're eating lunch in 1 minute. It's time to eat lunch, let's pick up the toys. And helping them, noticing, where is my child weak? Where are they prone to sin when we're out in public? What did the nursery worker say? What did the Sunday school teacher say? What did daddy or grandma or grandpa or uncle or babysitter, what did they say was an issue? Because it's not just happening there. Even that particular activity may not be happening elsewhere, but the motive for selfish, I want my own way, is coming out somewhere else. So if you have a kid that you put in a car seat and they're screaming when you put them in the car seat, you're like, I just don't know why. They're just, everything else is so perfect. And you're like, really? Think carefully. Where else do they demonstrate this entitled attitude? What about when you go to change their diaper? Do they lay calmly or do they thrash? What about when it's time to take a bath? What about when it's time to eat peas instead of applesauce? Look for other areas in their life where this same heart attitude, because that's what we're looking at, is the heart, is coming out. When you're giving your kids opportunities to interact with others and you're working to train them on these things, make sure you're pointing to those heart issues. We're not looking for justice, right? So sometimes we can look at justice and be like, well, who had it first? Who cares? It doesn't matter who had it first. What matters is who is sinning. Who is being selfish here? Everyone raise your hand. Great, we're all sinning. So what we're going to do is we're going to look to prefer. Who wants to prefer? There's a very, we don't have to delve down into listening like to little 3 or 4, 5, 6 year olds tell these long stories. They repeat the same word 6 times. They say, they forgot something. They're picking their nose. You're like, oh, I'm getting weary of this only words. Just bring it back to the heart of everyone. Honor the Lord. Who wants to prefer? All of your issues are, we're coming back. All of these issues are moral issues. We're not looking at justice. We're not in a court, right? We want to help them to see everything I do. I want to honor the Lord. Which is why some kids, when they have a sibling who provokes them, you're going to be talking to them privately about what? How can they yield? How can they serve? How can they love? How can they prefer? And then reminding them, when they have this provocative sibling, to come to you for help. Not to try to battle that sibling on their own, and not to become resentful, embittered, avenging. And then you talk privately to the provoking sibling about, are you honoring and loving other people? Are you treating them the way you want to be treated? Why do you want to provoke your sibling? Have they sinned against you? The conversations look different because it's not a justice issue. It's not you stop provoking, you stop crying. It's what is the heart issue going on with each of you? When they're younger, sometimes it's hard to get to those things, and you don't need to have those conversations. You just need to remind them God wants us to love others. Who wants to prefer? Good job. All right, 2 minutes, that's the timer, and then it'll be your turn for the choice. Sounds great. Those are great ways to resolve those issues, especially when you're doing them 24/7, every day, for like years, and you have lots of children, and you're like, I can't sort through every issue. Every issue is not a counseling issue. I don't need 1,000 scriptures. I basically need 3. Obey mommy, love others, and your choice family scripture, you know? It's like, okay, we really struggle with this. That's what we're going to focus on. Anger. Probably James 1:19, right? Just hypothetically, that might be the one you want to use. Don't be quick to defend your kids when you let them sit under others' authority as well. So you want your children to obey you. You want them to obey others. When they go to the nursery, or they go to the Sunday school, or they go to grandma's, and grandma's like, oh, they did pretty good, but then Joey grabbed Susie's hair. And they're like, oh, well, Joey's had a really hard day. What? No. We want to honor the Lord and be quick to hear the instruction and then take that home and say, okay, how can I apply this in my training at home, right? That is a way that we can be on guard against worldliness creeping into our thinking, because we have now adopted a high view of man and a low view of God and sin, right? When we start to apply worldly terms to what our children are doing and make excuses for them. Oh, well, it's just like a little white lie. It was just a little story. They were just exaggerating. Like, no, that was dishonest. That was lying. Oh, they have a quick temper. They're a little fiery. It's called murder, right? And teaching your children what it's called and not being afraid to call it that. It can cut to our heart when we hear those terms because we are also guilty. Don't be afraid to use those terms and also to repent when you're convicted. Like, you know, mommy did get angry. I'm sorry. I spoke to you in anger. Or mommy got angry at the cashier. Or I got angry at the person who cut me off. Or basically, I'm just angry a lot because I'm not getting my own way because my life is hard and I have no time to myself. That sounds great. The Lord sanctified me, you know? That's okay. Your children, they already know. They live with you. They see it. Like, they know you better probably than anybody else. Maybe your husband. Maybe they even know you better than him at times because you spend so much time with them. And they press on you. And your husband is not like, honey, I need you to... I have a hangnail, it hurts. Oh, my leg, it's cramping. Get on the bed. Your husband doesn't do that, right? And your children, they do. And, you know, you just sometimes don't be like, just suck it up, guys. It's okay. Like, your life's not going to be great. You're a sinner, we're in a fallen world. Let's praise God together. That doesn't really work. But, like, they want to hear your comfort. They want to have a biblical way of thinking. They need a biblical way of thinking. Help them. One of the ways you can do that is by asking good questions. When you see that they aren't doing what they're supposed to, or when you see that they're struggling, try to motivate them with internal obedience by asking questions, right? Ask about what you're seeing reasonably. So I have found, why did you do that is like not very helpful 98% of the time. What is very helpful is, tell me about what's happening. Let them tell you. The first things they start to talk about, it will reveal to you the priority of their perspective, and it will tell you what to ask next. Well, Susie was hitting me, and then, oh, hold on just 1 second. Tell me about what was happening with you. So you already can see in their mind, okay, they're quick to blame. They are defending themselves. Well, I really wanted that toy, and she went, okay, they want what they want. James 4, they didn't get it, now they're murdering. Great, okay, my words are done. But you're listening to the rest of the words, and in your mind you're thinking, okay, what am I going to ask them next? Do you think that Susie liked it when you hit her?
I don't know.
Well, do you like it when someone hits you? No. Asking them those leading questions, and we have some resources at the end that we'll talk about that are so helpful for those things. Those are helpful ways to get at what your kids are saying. You're trying to help them. Why did you hit your sister? Ma! Are you upset with her? No. Has she done anything in the last couple hours, minutes, seconds, days, weeks, years that has made you angry? I remember, okay, Lord, help me. How can I help my child right now? They played Legos yesterday. I remember hearing some yelling upstairs, but I didn't check on them. They resolved it. You guys were playing yesterday with Legos. How did that go?
Fine.
Okay, now there's something. I can see, obviously, not fine. Asking more questions. Did Susie play nicely with you? I know sometimes it's hard to play with little siblings. You know, she knocked over my tower. Okay, great. So resentment, I was angry, I avenged myself, and I did it today by doing this. Asking those questions and using the benefit of being with them all the time, knowing their weaknesses and strengths, to help them and to help them identify, you know, that's called anger. And God actually is not pleased with Susie knocking over your tower, but he wants you to come to him with that anger. And ask for him to help you to be righteous in the way that you live. You know, James 1:19 says that your anger does not produce the righteous life that God desires. So when you get angry at Susie for knocking over your blocks, you're actually not living in a righteous way. God wants you to take it to him and ask for his help. He says he's the avenger of those that belong to him. Showing them what to do with the anger. It's not like they're just not going to be angry anymore. I mean, if someone rushed out in front of you in traffic and you had ran into a pole, would you be like, oh, thanks. Like, how would you do that? Right? We might stifle it, but we are angry, like, and it's right to have righteous anger. There's a book we're going through in Grace Life right now called Good and Angry, and it's fabulous. It talks about anger is not all bad. What do you do when you're angry? God hates sin. When you see sin and it causes you to be angry, that's right. But what do you do with it? How do you deal with it in a biblical way? Teach your kids how to do that as well. Proverbs 18:13 says, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. You should memorize that. Proverbs 18:13. And make sure that you listen to as many sides of the story as you can handle without going crazy. And then make a decision. Sometimes, okay, you go back out, you come in. Okay, now you go out, come back in. Okay, now you go out and you come in. Back and forth until you're like, okay, I have some clarity. Okay, so I think what happened is blank, 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 blank. Is that about right? Well, I didn't say push, I said throw, or, you know, they're like, I didn't hit him, I patted him. Okay, let's know semantics. You're just like, oh, okay, I'm going to be calm, Lord, I'm going to speak kindly, helping them to walk in the right way and not just hear, oh, yeah, I'm sure whatever you said was right, because this provocative child, they're always provoking. You provoked, didn't you? Okay, go pull weeds. Wait, what? You didn't even hear the side of the story. Truth, you will have children that know they have siblings who often get called out because they are loud, because they are outwardly really disobedient, and they draw attention. They're not blind to that. They know they can get away with things because their other sibling is the one who is so loud, the other one who is pushy, the other one is fill in the blank. They can kind of fly under the radar. So you want to be careful to listen to all the sides of the story. And then when you're wrong, repent. I'm so sorry. I believed your brother. I didn't listen to your side of the story. Thank you for sharing with me. And just be honest about it. I'm sorry. You know, it's mommy that needs to do better about that. And in your mind, you're thinking, yeah, that's because the other 100 times I've talked to you about this, you actually have done the thing they accused you of. That's okay. There will be another time for you to remind them of that. Not right now. Right now, don't make any excuses for your sinful behavior. You made a judgment without hearing both sides of the story. Just repent. And later, you can come back around and say, no. When they do that sin again, because they probably will, it's hard for mommy to believe the best about you in this area when you have a habit of sin here. I want to believe the best. Let's strive together to honor the Lord. I'm going to strive to hear both sides of the story, and you're going to strive to put off this sin. And instead, let's put on this positive, this godly behavior. So why do we also train our kids? Because of our future grandchildren, because of their spouse. One day they may be persecuted for Christ. You want them to stand firm. It's not just today. It's not just in these minutes. It's not just next week. You want them in the end to be faithful. They are going to affect people forever and ever. And as a unbeliever, married to an unbeliever, right? We had unbelieving families. We got married as baby Christians. No believers in our families anywhere. We are now creating a pathway of obedience and delighting in the Lord for our families. Like, we have a new generation of people who are now young adults that are going back to these unbelieving homes and interacting, and it's totally foreign. It's completely different because we're thinking forward about, okay, these are adults. We don't want to keep having this lineage of lost people living in a hopeless world with no goals or hopes or plans. Their lives are desperate and terrible. We want to have hope, joy-filled future. So we're going to keep pouring into our kids, pointing them toward the Lord, and entrusting them to the Lord. Let's talk about some common unbiblical parenting methods. This is going to be fun. All right, now listen. We're just going to talk about a buffet of options. That's basically what this is. This is not, well, Megan did it this way, or Jill did it that way. That's the way I've got to do it. This is just, all of this is like, take it or leave it. Oh, that could work for our family. That will not work for our family. Great. You pick and choose. So let's talk a little bit about some of these and see where we identify, and maybe be ready to share. We'll talk about some of these. So one of these is counting to three. You don't have all of these yet. You just have the last page. That's why I'm talking about these. So this is in the actual workbook. So putting off is counting to three. The putting on is first time obedience. So who has heard of, is it Ginger Hubbard or Plowman? I can't remember.
Hubbard.
Okay, her old name is Plowman. I can never remember. I have the first copy of the wrong last name. Yeah. I'm like, so she has a book called Don't Make Me Count to Three. It is a practical application of,
somebody should have my books over here.
And I did actually forget one of my favorite resources, but I'll just tell you about it and you can go look at it online. This one. So she has a book called Don't Make Me Count to Three. Like, this is the head knowledge. This is the orthodoxy. She's the orthopraxy. She's got a great chart of wise words for moms.
She made it into an app too now.
So you can have it on Grace. An app. So you don't even need to buy anything. You just don't need to buy the app.
Wait, what is the app?
It's a wise words.
So this will help you to put off the wrong thinking, so you can start thinking rightly, right? Eric says think with renovated mind, think rightly, and put on the right behavior. You can't just put on the right behavior and not think rightly. It doesn't work, right? Like stapling an apple to an orange tree. It's an apple tree. It doesn't work like that. We have to start at the roots. If your children don't hear you and you're in a place where they can't hear well, right? Or talking's not appropriate, like church, right? Or it's loud or busy. So this is how we can put on that first time obedience. Instead of going, right? Come up with a way that maybe indicates your kids, it's time to do what I'm telling you to do. Stop talking, come here. All of my kids know, this means no. Like from watching a young mom do this, when I was even younger mom, I had like one or two kids. She had like five. I was like, oh my gosh, I have five kids, right? And I would watch her do things and I'm like, I just go home and I'd basically mimic her. I would talk like her. I would use the same tone of voice. My husband's like, please stop doing that. But it was really helpful for me because she would just have such a soft voice. And I'm like, and I tend to get like loud and like, okay, that's not helpful. I am exasperating my own self. Proverbs 15:1. My own harsh words are stirring my own self up to anger. I've got to simmer down here. Okay, we shouldn't be doing that. Right? But it was helpful for young children. We were just all the time. And they learned little sign language. And one of them was no. So even now, I will be looking at somebody. Usually I don't tell my teens that. But, you know, the younger ones, I'll look at them and be like, and then no. That's no. I just go, they know. It doesn't mean a duck sound. It means no. We want to be quick. The moment they are disobeying, to talk to them about obedience right away. No challenges. No arguing. No excuses. Come when mom calls you. Obviously, we can be reasonable if they're using the restroom or they're in the middle of getting dressed. We're not going to be like, I called you and you didn't come. Discipline, right? That's where we ask the questions. But we want the habit to be that they know when mom calls me, I come. I don't say yeah, I don't wait a few minutes, I don't come if I want, and this starts at a very young age and being proactive, training them to come. Does anybody have anything they want to add to that? I feel like that's the most crucial thing that we worked on when my kids were young, was training them, come when mommy calls you. Sometimes it's hard to discern if they actually can hear you. Mm-hmm. Train them to come when you call them. Train them to tune their ears to the sound of your voice when mommy calls you, you can use those words. Tune your ears. I didn't hear you. You need to tune your ears.
I have a question. I'm sorry. With that, okay, so the issue I have with that is like, my kids come, but they take a really, specifically one child takes a very long time. And I think where I went wrong is I started to like, be like, fast, come to me fast. And because she takes so long. And then now the issue is like, I tell her to come and she almost gets anxiety. Like when I tell her to come, she's like, okay. Like, I do not want that. Like, that makes me so scared. So like, how do I go back? I love this. This is so great. I overtrained. Yes. Not true.
You want to help your daughter to know why she's obeying, right? Mm-hmm. So with words appropriate for that season.
Yeah.
You're obeying because mommy loves you. Mm-hmm. Because God loves you. And God wants us to obey his word. And mommy loves God. Mommy loves you. We're going to obey God together.
Yeah.
When daddy says, honey, come here. I come right away.
Mm-hmm.
But watch the way mommy comes. And then even have your hubby demonstrate.
Yeah.
Oh, I just get up and I come to him.
Yeah.
That's what mommy wants you to do when you come to me. And does mommy look fearful when she comes to daddy? No, I love to go to daddy. Like, I want to be with him. I want to serve him. I love him. That's how mommy wants you to come to me. I love you. I want you to come to me. I want you to come with joy, not being afraid, but coming right away because you're loving the Lord. And just keep reiterating that. And even if you've gone too far, which is great to say, like, I can't discern that from what you just said, but I know I've gone too far at times.
Yeah.
I can come to my kids. Like, usually it's not I trained too diligently, it's the other direction. So then it's like, okay,
no,
guys.
It's not that I'm diligent, it's that I it's still like a fear of like,
oh yeah, I want to call it diligence. It sounds nice. So if we go too far or not far enough, just be honest, guys. Mom has been, and for me it's usually, I have been lazy. I have not been faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to kind of have a reset. This is the way things have been. This is the way things need to be. The next week, I'm going to remind you of that. And then after that, it's going to be discipline. Let's go the right way together.
Mm-hmm.
Have an expectation of obedience, but acknowledge if you have played a part in the lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And then remedy it. It's never too late to remedy it. Like, imagine if you were, like, forgot to brush your teeth one night. You was really late. You got home. You're like, it's 2 a.m. I'm not brushing my teeth. I'm going to bed. Well, you just like throw away your toothbrush forever? Oh, I didn't brush it once. I'm never doing it again. But that would be ridiculous, right? And if someone told you that, I'd be like, what are you doing? Go brush your teeth, right?
Yeah.
Same thing for your children. It's never too late to be like, guys, we've been on the wrong road. I'm sorry. Let's go the right way. You need to communicate it though. Can you imagine if you worked somewhere or your husband had a plan and then he's like, oh, I changed the plan, but I didn't tell you. Wait, what? What are you? Okay, we're on the same team. I need to know where we're going. You need to tell your children where you're going. You need to tell them so they can follow. Threatening and not following through. Put it off. How can you put on consistency in parenting? Several people said something about that. So we don't want to be inconsistent because it hardens our kids to obedience. It exasperates them when we change our mind, when we don't follow through. It exasperates them when we one day have one thing that's a sin and the next day it's not. They don't know.
I want to share something myself that failed in that part. I think it was there are times when we discipline them, we feel the kids are cause our inconvenience. We're not disciplining them when focused on their sin against God. I think I didn't have the mindset that my discipline is for their good.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're getting in my busy schedule,
mm-hmm.
cause my inconvenience. Now they're going to discipline them.
Mm-hmm.
So when times that didn't cause my inconvenience, I was okay with it. So I will make not that big issue. So I just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
So that actually built up as my lack of diligence
mm-hmm.
and caused the issue. And then they slowly said, oh, it's okay. I don't have to obey right away. She's fine with it. And then I get upset if I tell them after 3 times they're not coming, I get angry and then I lash out anger. Then here, I go, why am I doing this? Why I can't do this?
Yeah.
It's all from, I think, the word I need to grow.
Yeah.
And I think it helped me change my mindset as discipline that it's for their good. When they're disobedient, they're on the way to destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to step back into discipline them, bring them back, the children heart of the book of the bring them back to God's blessing circle.
Yeah.
When they are not disobedient, so they're not in God's blessing circle.
Mm-hmm.
So by jumping, disciplining, I'm helping them and then bring them back. help them to, I think they use the words that you are like a bystander watching them to the destruction when you fail to discipline diligently. I was like, whoa, that was, I will never want to be a bystander for watching my children out of the way of destruction, not doing anything.
Yeah.
That was like a really helped me to have, like, still work on it. Change the mindset that not just because it caused my inconvenience, but right now they're not. Okay, I'm go go.
I had a question. So in the beginning, when if you're teaching your child to come when you call, is it a bad idea if they're really young to almost make it like a game? Like, you know, you're hiding and you call their name and they find you, or some interactive way to get them motivated to do it so they learn what you're requiring, and then, you know, building on that and following through if they don't come, things like that. But at first making it like a game, or is that it? Would that be a problem?
Thoughts? Anybody want to share?
I've had my kids outside and I would stand and they would all stand in a row and I would call them and they would run and I would tell them to stop. And so we would make it a game in the beginning so that it's that joyful experience of coming to mommy. You know, we're
good
enjoying. And then I would give them a
don't
hug.
Don't do what I did. Make it fun.
She's right. So even when it is, you know, even when there may be some reason they don't necessarily want to come to you, they know. And then it's that consistent response that you can give them, which I'm also still working on that, whether it's I need them to come to me because I need to discipline them and I need to work on my anger, or I just need their help to do empty the dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's giving them that. I think it's that's what we've done.
Yeah, I agree. Find what you need to support you to be consistent. If you need a rod in your back pocket, put a rod in your back pocket. If you need to remind yourself quiet time or nap time is time to discipline or train, be ready for it. Don't have your heart set on, I'm gonna go read, I'm gonna take a nap, I'm gonna do some stuff online, I'm gonna clean the kitchen, because you're gonna set yourself up for failure. Just remind yourself, okay, nap time is like a prime time for discipline. Just be ready. I did not bring my if then chart with me, but that's one of my favorite tools. So the lady who wrote this book, for instruction in righteousness, Pam Forrester, she has a website called doorpost.com. She has a chart that is, I love it. I love it so much. It looks like, it looks a lot like this book, which I brought, which is well loved. It has picture of the sin, picture of the verse before, picture of a verse after, and then a open column for your putting in your discipline, and then the back talks about possible disciplines you could put in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that all I have to do is hold it up. You know, your 2-year-old can point to whatever the sin is.
Mm-hmm.
They know, disobeying, anger, hitting, because there's a little picture. They don't need to be able to read the words. They know the scripture, and it helps to hold you to consistency. Like,
mm-hmm.
oh, well, today you hit your brother, and I was home, and I really empathized, like, why you hit him, so like you're only gonna get like 2 spanks. But like last week, you hit your brother, and your little brother is just so cute and was doing something very cute, and he felt like he was innocently maligned. Okay, well now you get 5 spanks. Well, today you're very tender and crying, but last week you didn't, so you got more. You're just like, oh, well, who's disciplining, and which parent, and what does it look like? It's like, no, it's consistent. And we have joked even in our house, we wish we had one for teens.
So
helpful. Yeah. You know, because it really, when they're that, they require this, you're like, okay, just give me 10 minutes. I gotta go look this up. Thinking about relevant, my own sin. And it's just, you know, it's really very helpful. So let's talk about a few more. Spanking and anger. That's going to be a no. Put that off. Don't do that. How do we address this? How do we discipline in love? Especially when we have little ones who are impatient. Realize that sin is against God. It's not against us.
Mm-hmm.
Be specific about what you're going to discipline for. You can't spank for all the things all the time. You will grow weary. Your child's bottom can't withstand it. You will be like, I never want to do this again.
Yeah.
It is not a recipe for success. You want to honor the Lord with your children. So pick those specific things. Okay, these 2 things, or maybe your child is doing a particular behavior and your husband's like, This screaming in the high chair thing is a no. We're going to address this. How are we going to address it? So brainstorm, talk together. Is this going to be a spank issue? Is this going to be you're removed from the table and you go sit in your crib or pack and play and you get like a 1 minute timer and then mommy comes to get you and tries again? What are we going to discipline for? Have a clear guideline and then follow it. And when they're angry, what do you do? When you're angry, what do you do? Does anybody want to share what they do? Am I the only person who gets angry with them?
No. Well, it's been a while, but I used to put them in there and go and pray. Mm-hmm. And just say, and they're, okay, let me, well, it's okay. And they'll be like, oh, come on. I'm like, no, trust me. You go there, I'm going here. You want me to go here. Trust me. For both of our sakes. So just pray and ask the Lord to just soften my heart, because most of the time, sometimes, you know, depending on whatever the sin was, it was my inconvenience too. And it's like, okay, Lord, this is against you, not against me. You know, and then we would go and it would actually go better. So,
yeah. I think it's great. You can check if you can talk with a natural tone, your voice is, if you can talk in natural tone, then that's the proper control. Mm-hmm. If you can't control your emotion, you can't talk in natural, you raise your voice, it's not a good moment to do. This is gonna, is that fail many times?
Sometimes when I can't get away from my kids to do that, like I'll just pray right then and there out loud, even in front of them, because I'm thinking, well, they've been angry and they know, like, now they can hear what you do when you're angry, like in the moment they can hear my prayer, and so it's humbling.
Yeah,
but
exactly,
it's good.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
I think also, like, for me, a big eye-opener was kind of just figuring it out, but like realizing that my kids are sinful and my kids are not great and perfect, and like I cannot have this picture of my idea of my kids, like they're perfect, they're sweet, they're so great. Every day I wake up like saying to myself, like, my kids are sinful, I'm sinful, and I need to work on their hearts and my heart. Just every day acknowledging that helped me a lot with my anger. Mm-hmm. Instead of like having expectation, like, oh, my kids are so great, like everything's great. You know?
Yes.
And it hits you like a ton of bricks.
Yeah. It's not great.
Just start off the morning.
Right. But it helps me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Expectations. Yeah.
I recently read a book that can help me to shifting a different perspective. They are all little lawbreakers, God's lawbreakers.
Yeah.
And we all understand, no matter how cute the piece they are, they're all little lawbreakers.
Right.
And then for our job as parents is to go teach them, show them, convict them. And I learned that word. I thought the convicting is your conscience feel, oh, I did something wrong. I'm repenting sin. But the book can help me out. Actually, is when Jesus refers, so convicting is the persecuting the criminals you having, commit the crime. So it's our job to tell our children, this is God's words. What you have done is break God's law.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it helped me from that perspective. That, oh, okay, so I don't have to get it personal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to get ultimately either a thing against me, but they ultimately because we're in discipline because of sin against God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big about us. It's not
mm-hmm.
about our comfort. But it's about the sin against God, and that will be not good. So our job is to tell them, hey, you break this is God's law. So we got that. I think that will help me to set my emotion, personal emotion aside.
Mm-hmm.
Help me to man, okay, it's my job to teach them, because they don't know. They don't know what's going on with their heart. It's no way, well, I want to do this, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, yeah, be suffered or whatever. So I will help them to understand, yeah, this is a God's law and you break it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right, let's talk about putting off ignoring bad behavior. We referenced that earlier. Usually that is indicative of laziness,
mm-hmm.
idol of comfort or convenience, and a low view of God and sin and a high view of self. You
mm-hmm.
might find that you make excuses for yourself or your children, calling things what they aren't, right? It doesn't mean those things aren't true. Our kids do get tired. They can get overstimulated. They can be hungry. But when you're hungry, does that mean you're allowed to melt down and scream at people? No, me neither. So the truth is, yes, those things may be true, but that's not an excuse to not address their bad behavior. make sure that we don't ignore sin. Teach our God, teach our kids that God's loving and just. Remember, we read in Hebrews 12 that discipline is love. Ignoring discipline is hate, and you might even need to say those things to yourself as you are looking at your child going, I really don't want to have to deal with this right now. Okay, if I ignore this, I'm hating them. I don't hate them, I love them. And love is an action, so I need to go help them to deal with their sin right now. Mm-hmm. It is hard to be faithful. That's why we have accountability with each other. We have encouragement. You might need to text a friend. I'm struggling today. Please pray for me. I feel like my house is full of gripers, and I'm probably the chief because here I am texting you. And I'm not prepared to deal with their griping. And they did learn it somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. So they are sinful, but have I modeled this faithfully? Pray for me today as I'm confronted with my own sin. Don't be afraid to reach out to a friend and ask, please text me some scriptures, check in on me because I need it, especially if you have a husband who works late hours or goes overnight or has a random time where he's on call and you're like, I just have to be prepared to be ready to take care of lots of people, and I need to do it lovingly and joyfully. Mm-hmm. Not being hypocritical, so not fearing people but fearing God, which you had mentioned, which was really great. Make sure that you're practicing what you're preaching and seek to be the same person privately that you are publicly. If you're a cheerful, loving, serving person at church, you should be that way at home.
Yeah.
Jill often says we should treat our family like company and our company like family. Mm-hmm. You want to be, if there's anyone that you're pouring out for, it is your children. Mm-hmm. If there is anyone that you are serving, if there's anyone who can give a testimony of God's grace in your life, it should be your family, not the people at church who see you a few times a week when you have time to shower and get ready and put off the distractions. And I'm here, I'm ready to be gracious. Micromanaging, which is really just an opportunity for us to feel like, oh, we're God. I can control everything. I'm sovereign over your world, which can be very easy to assume when they're little, right? Mm-hmm. One of the charts we talked about 2 years ago in Hewitt, which I love, is like if you imagine a bee with responsibilities on one side and privileges on the other, immaturity, infant, is down at the bottom. And as you get older, you get both more responsibilities and privileges. Mm-hmm. Until you're out here at the top, mature. So you think about an adult. Adult has a lot of freedoms. You can choose when you go to bed. You can choose what you eat. You can choose where you drive, if you drive, what kind of car you drive. So many things we can choose. But you also have a lot of responsibilities.
Yeah.
We need to think about that with children and make sure that those things are commensurate, right? That we aren't trying to keep them under control when they are 10. They need to have some privileges to make some choices. When they're 2, maybe like 2 choices a day, right? Like less choices. They need to be constantly reminded I'm under authority and submission.
Yeah.
You will frustrate them and yourself if you are trying to keep them small when they are little, and vice versa. You will have an entitled, spoiled child that you will not be a delight. You will not be able to say my child is a delight when you're giving them all the things and they have no responsibilities and they're immature.
Yeah.
Make sure you're not bribing with rewards. My kids ask me that. What's the difference? So I said, give a reward is after they've done something that they're supposed to do. Say, great job, you did that. And I said, well, what about when we go to the grocery? You used to say X, Y, Z, right? So they're older now, they can like critically think and they analyze all the things that I've done and they're like, what about this? I'm like, okay, great, let's prove it. So I said, this was what the example I gave to them was. The difference is that when I reward you after you've done the good thing, I say, if you do this, what I'm asking you to do, if you don't ask me for 1,000 items in the grocery, if you don't touch every box on the shelf, if you don't put stuff in the cart, if you don't chew on it, you don't complain, you don't hit your sibling, right? There's just like, if you do the things I've already been training you to do for the last 2 years, and we can get through this grocery trip together, before there was like delivery and stuff, right? You had to load everybody in the cart, take everyone to the store by yourself,
yeah,
and buy things in your budget that would make meals at home for a certain amount of days so you didn't have to return again.
Yeah.
I would say cookie at the end or whatever, right? Our mom will get you, we'll get Gatorade at the end to have or something. Along the way, the reminder to obey was not, don't forget that cookie, don't forget the Gatorade, it's gonna be so tasty, it's hot outside today, you're really gonna want that Gatorade. The reminder was, obey the Lord, obey mommy, you're doing a good job sitting still, thank you for being patient. Is that what mommy asked you to do? Are you obeying the Lord right now? Focus was on the Lord and on mommy. The motivation, the internal motivation was obey the Lord, do his word, do his ways, follow him. At the end came the cookie. Maybe. Oftentimes not. Because I said so. There is a time for because I said so. But we want to make sure that we are not holding any authority apart from God's decree over our children. We need to tell them, you're obeying me because I belong to the Lord, because the Lord has put me as your parent, that's why you're obeying me, not because I'm your mom, do what I said. Yes, You don't need to give lots of explanations, especially when they're younger. It's not appropriate. You set up a whole slew of opportunities for them to be like, well, you have to convince me every time now why I need to do what I need to do, because you've been convincing me so far. No, I need you to obey mommy right now because God says to obey me. Let's walk to the car now. And you're telling them and showing them and going with them. Don't let them even choose sometimes. You're just taking their hand and going, thank you for holding my hand. Let's walk to the car. Good job obeying. You're doing so great. When we get home, we are going to have a delicious lunch together. Do you want to help me make the lunch? Right? You are putting in them truth, right? Like helping direct their minds toward good things and reminding them, mommy's in charge and I love you, but only because God said so.
Yeah.
And we're at the end of our time. We had a few more left. I'm sorry we didn't get to give to them. But actually, I could send these out if Jill says. So maybe I'll put them down and send them out. We did not even get to talk about sleeping or blanket training, which are my favorites. So blanket training is great if you have a little one who needs to learn how to be on their own and sit quietly. Putting them on a blanket and giving them a book or two, a toy, two, three toys, and they sit there and you fold laundry. You do something next to them, but they stay on the blanket. Training and being proactive for them to sit, to have self-containment and self-control. You're not constantly entertaining them. You're not giving them constant stimulation, and they learn how to be okay with the boundaries mommy is giving you. The same thing goes for sleeping, scheduling and ordering a routine to help your children not only have self-control, but they do need rest. Your kiddos need rest. And it's good for your children to recognize resting isn't always sleeping, right? Sometimes it's just laying or sitting quietly, but they need sleeping time. And to be able to train your children, you're going to have sleeping time now. Whether it's as an infant, they're eating, playing, sleeping, and you just repeat over and over again for many, many, many days, and the periods get longer. Or as a young child, they're 2 or 3 years old, they're like, you're going to have quiet time now. You're going to go and lay down in your bed, and you're going to have 6 books. That's what you're going to do for an hour. You're not going to come out. You're not going to call for mommy. This is what we're going to do every day. It's good for you, and it's good for me. And being willing to say as the authority, this is good for you. This is good for you to remember that the life doesn't revolve around you, and helping you remember I'm your authority. And it's good for mommy because I need to have quiet time. I need to have time to pray and reset my mind on the Lord. Daddy's going to be coming home soon. We have company coming over. I have an errand to run. I need to be ready to handle the situation in a godly way. More than you need to be happy to play or run around and have freedom to choose whatever activity you want, we need to be able to glorify the Lord, which means we need to have time to rest and set our minds on Him, especially as a mommy. So those were some of that I wanted to touch on. And then here's my stack of referral books. They're not all on that list. There's books on that list I didn't have to bring in. This is one you read with your kids, obviously, not by yourself. But they will love it, and it will teach them all about obedience and responsibility and obeying your parents. You're free to look through all of these. If you want, I can just leave them out here. And let's go ahead and close so I can respect everybody's time. And if you have any questions, you can do that after. So if you need to pick up your kiddos, etc., we can do that. Oh, I was supposed to remind you also, if you have not done so, there's a sign out on the entrance table with a picture of our Venmo. If you want to send, the suggested donation is $4 a kid if your kids are in childcare. Or if you have cash, you can give that to me, and I will take that back to Lizzie Bragg. She's the one. She's like the treasurer collecting the money and dispersing it. That would be wonderful. And if you don't have that today, you can do it next week or use Venmo, but it's just always going to be set up there.
So don't put it in the container?
Oh, yeah, I put it in the container.
Oh, okay,
sorry.
I was going to say. No,
I messed up.
I'm sorry. Perfect. That sounds great. Yes.
We're going to fish it out.
I'll fish it out in the container. Sounds great. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you that we were able to dwell on your word and be encouraged. I pray, God, that the conviction that we have probably all of us felt about the areas where we're lacking right now would not overwhelm us, but we would remember that there is not condemnation in Christ, to come to you with the conviction and ask, Lord, that you would give us not only forgiveness for where we've been lacking, but also that you would strengthen us in faith to apply the knowledge we have just gained so that we can walk as wise women managing our homes and children. Help us to be joyful and help us, Lord, to be diligent to train our children in a godly way. Lord, we love you. Thank you for surrounding us with godly women that we can ask questions of, who can help us. Thank you, Lord, that we are not alone. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to trust you in these things. And we pray, God, that you too bless us as we go with our children now who are going to still be cute sinners to our homes, and that we would be cheerful to serve them, Lord. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.